Canastir.
It's from the town Canastir. The town. His name was Steiner. But he comes from this town, Kerestir. So
what? Kerestir now?
Yeah, this town is called Kerestir, and Reb Shaila was he was not a rebbe. He was a shamus of another rav, and he became known for he was an extraordinarily kind person, and Zachnos Zorochim was overboard. I mean, he was not. He was a person of some means, but he had people in his house, the hardest cases, the most difficult ones, the ones that really were kind of the people you'd call the police on. That type of people, they stayed by him, food, drink, anything and everything. Cared about people, served them personally, and he was something like a Baal Chesed with his on a personal level that was unheard of. And Rebbes recommended him that to go to him for bracha. They felt that his chusim were so amazing that somebody said, one of the Rebbes said, that the keys of Parnassa are in Reb Shaila's hands. And it became a place where people would come. He would say Torah, I think, once a week. I think Shalshutas maybe would say. But the main thing was, you know, he came and welcomed you as a guest. And the schus of having the kesher with him was incredible. He left over on the day of his p'tira. He told the shamans to prepare food because a lot of people are going to come for the levaya, and they're going to want to eat. And he saw that the shamans was still kind of very occupied, preoccupied. So he himself got up to put some more potatoes and more schmaltz into the pot for people that are going to need it. And so he was a figure of an extraordinary tzaddik, and he died in 1925. You know, those are the people that, well, nobody is, would be alive anymore, but he wasn't so long ago, and he became a demus of a person who is, his chusim are tremendous, and especially as regards Parnassa, people felt, they have mesoras from other rebbes that the keys of Parnassa in his hands. So a lot of tefillahs over here in Yeshua's for these things. There is a school that people have. How it got started, I have no idea. But I mean, there are stories about how it got started. That if you keep his picture around, it keeps mice away. And again, you can. So if you'll see the pictures of people of his picture hanging, it's keep mice away. Mice caused a lot of damage and ate up stuff. And people have said shot them. But I guess the person who was totally he brought out that facet of total avos yisrael to the individual and to the people that nobody else wanted to touch, and cared for them and worried for them and gave them everything he had. He would sometimes borrow money to keep his enterprise going, and he, you know, and that was the person. So I mean, you can't, you know, it's hard to beat chesed for a person. And again, chesed, it's one thing when you write a check to somebody, that's it. Another thing when you have to tolerate a person being in your house and around you and taking care of him. Some of these people weren't all there. They needed, you know, they were not easy. And that's the person, that's the schus.
These people here
now,
are they visiting?
So they've established, because it's a popular site, they've established Achnos Zarchim so that people will always be able to eat and drink. They want to perpetuate that legacy. So this
he promised
so,
something, no?
What?
He promised to others continue giving.
Yeah, yeah. There are haftachas that, you know, anyone who continues.
Started,
what?
He started a few years ago, so that haftacha was silent.
Right. It became, but people feel that if they continue a legacy of a place that's open 24/7 and always available, it's his chus. That's.
So they live here. His cousin live here.
There's one or two who's seen him come and they live for a few weeks and they come back and some. Oh,
it's a rotation.
The mikvah is always hot, and there's one or two. There's a family.
Sorry,
three, who just the mikvah is always hot. There's one or two chassidim or families that come and live here for a week, 2 weeks, and they switch. And if you come as a small family or just individuals, everything's free on the house. If you come like me, if I bring a group, then I have to pay them. They have to prepare for a group and you pay. But otherwise, it's all.
On the house.
Who's the portion?
And who's the portion?
Donation.
So it's, yeah, they've got their own foundation now and charity and they go.
But who is this?
Like to
the
Yeah.
But not Hasidim. They're people who feel this is a tremendous legacy.
No, Prabhupada is actually Miami Beach. They have a shul Miami Beach, and he actually, I'm not sure he started or
he didn't start it. He was nifta in 1925, and he left over had a son who was nifta very rapidly. But I don't think he has any direct descendants, any descendants perpetuate his legacy. But people who feel very, very taken by it, very moved by it.
I saw in Wikipedia this before. There is a grand nephew. That has a
deal
in Miami Beach.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's possible. So great, but he himself wasn't even. So some people you could be mispal. It's a schus for panasa, or a schus to be able to help other people. You know, it's like to imitate somehow his chesed. So it works both directions, I guess. You know, it's Ellie had more things to add about the.
Ellie's too scared to say all those juicy stories over here.
All right, Ellie's been in on.
It's a separate department.
I just want to say something, okay?
Please.
Hashem, tonight is the Yortzeit.
Yes.
And Abshaya's wife. And sometimes when very hard things would come his way, he would say, go to the Rebbe's, go. And she would answer what they want to do.
Really?
Yeah. And she was very
good.
She
was
nifted 20 years before.
Before him, 23, 22. Yeah.
She was 8 years younger than him, but she was nifted 2.5 years before. Yeah. And this house also, she had Gilead Yuli.
Is this the house? This is?
This is
their
home.
This is
their
mom.
And she, what
did
you say?
She had.
So,
Eliyahu
Novi. Gilead Gilu Eliel.
When they moved here, they were very, very poor. They were very, very poor. They had nothing. People used to come and give money, and he used to give it away. Or he used to buy food. People used to come, and then they used to give food. A few days it was so freezing, nobody came because it was so cold. And one day they had, they were going this way, and that door, somebody knocked the door, and she came in, and she opened the door. And he says something very, very unkept, very not appetizing. Came in, he says he's very hungry, if he can have something to eat. She says, I'm sorry, I don't have anything, but I do have kasha. He says, okay, I'll take kasha. So she went in and she brought him kasha in the plate, and it was very, very boiling hot. But he took it in a second, and she couldn't imagine, oh my gosh, how could he do it? And he asked if he had some more, three times. He ate three times. And after that, he says, is your husband here? She says, yes. He says, where is he? She says, he was in his room. He says, could I see him? So she went out, and she called him. And he says, I want to bench you. I want to give you a bracha. She says, that food should always be a bond in this house. Food should always be a bond. Everything you cook and everything you give, you should have time tonight. And then he left. And she told, his wife told Shari says, you know, it's very strange because he took three times such hard things. I don't know how a person, he must have been real hungry and very, very cold. He says, really? Because he took it. So he says, you know, when he goes see me, he opens the door and there's no footsteps on the snow. It was all free, it was no footsteps. So she passed away, his gabbler, showing the angles. They made the Kahamushim on this time, this Kahamushim, this time, said that when he said the story, he says, Shara said, it was Eliyahu Novi. So Shara says, yeah. So that room is called the Eliyahu Novi room, because he came through the door and he came through the house. It's interesting. And her Yortzeit is tomorrow.
There's
so.
Stories like that about us.
What's your connection for me?
Just happened now, okay? My father lived in this house. My father was my father's great grandfather. That's why I'm here, because tomorrow is the your side. So. Really? And my husband said, Charles says go to the rabbis, he says go. So, okay.
Father's great grandfather.
Yeah.
Great.
Where do
you live?
I live in I have a niece. She just had a baby, her 11th child. She had a niece, but in the winter, we knew that something was with her eye, and they couldn't get the bottom of it. They couldn't get the bottom of it, right? they couldn't get to the bottom of it. This is my daughter, and she's named after Charles Rivers. So and they couldn't get to the bottom of it because everything was very swollen to see what's in the back. She was going through a very hard time.
And an icon, mother of the baby.
The mother. She was 37 years old. And then they gave her medication to shrink the swelling, so they could see what it is. I was on the way to the airport when I got this call from her. And she tells me, she says that she started crying. She said, the doctor just called her, and the test came back, it's no good. Swelling is down, it's really no good what he's seeing. And he's not the one to go on. By tomorrow, morning, I made an appointment to a very big specialist, go to him, we'll take it from there, okay? So we got here, and the first thing we did, we went to the critical room, and, we went up to the ceiling, and the phone rang, and I picked up the phone, and she's on the phone. And I said, oh, my God, okay. And she said, hello, and she said, Vilma, I just want to tell you that I'm coming from the doctor. The doctor doesn't see anything. He says, it's clear as ever. He doesn't see anything in my eye. This was going on for a while. We knew something with her eye. We didn't know what.
Yesterday.
Wow. She just called me yesterday, 4:15. Here was 4:15.
So right after that.
What?
Right after that.
He came, and it was the first thing we did. It's my sister's daughter. We grew up together, and so it was very. We hear your stories all the time.
It's
going to
be in the next book.
Yeah, you should pull out gifts, whatever you get, you should have. She is everything.
Yeah. What's the connection to the people of Miami Beach?
Miami Beach, I had an uncle, his name was Naftula Gross. And he was a son-in-law of a child's son. That's next day. Okay. And he lived in Crown Heights. I don't know how long Rabavich is in Crown Heights. Very many years, but I think they bought off his shul when he went away from Crown Heights. He went to Muncie, and they settled in Florida because the climate was better there. So he opened the shul. It's called Kirstie. Rabesh Kirstie.
It's still going.
Yeah, it's still going. It's still going.
Yeah. What's funny is there's a rabbi there now, but he just started. But before that, the Rosh Kolo, Rabbi Gross's son-in-law, was the rabbi.
It's also gross. I think his name is Yoichel, right? He sits there.
And he left.
Yoichel? He was just here a few weeks ago, here by the Shabbos Yotzah. He said he's...
Okay, so you replaced him, okay.
I don't know, but...
Just a young guy.
Oh, maybe this is another guy, the fool.
I'm not sure the story goes.
But
it's still very strong. It's still especially the winter, rather than the cinnamon gum.
Yeah, the cinnamon gum winter is very strong.
Very strong. Yeah.
How many people came with the yotzeh last yotzeh?
We had between 13,000 and 15,000
people. What?
13,000
and 15,000?
It's very popular.
Yeah.
Very popular.
Where did they stand?
Gimel Gear.
Now,
a
few weeks ago.
Yeah. Between
13
and
15. Where does everybody stay?
First of all, it was the middle of the week. So the middle of the week, people come, people go, people don't. They don't stay. It starts, Europe comes. From Europe, people come, very many people got here at 10 o'clock in the morning, but they left already for the next flight. So it changed an awful lot.
And there was food for 13,000 people here?
Yeah? You see the kitchen?
No.
There was food, abundance of food. Yes.
Can we see the kitchen?
It's like a tour. Yeah. That's a whole...
Let's take a look at the
kitchen.
They hire
a cook or no?
No, we used to do it ourselves. We do it over 2,000 people.